here in the basking heat of what should be probably Sicily with an Italian man, but we're actually in Brighton with an Italian man, and his name is
Tom Corradini. Hello, everybody.
Yeah, and Tom, I'm going to ask you a bit about what you're doing theatre-wise, because you're a theatre maker. But before we do, you're actually here with a different hat on, and that is, this comes under the jargon of arts industry. But you're kind of looking for work, aren't you? So you haven't got that pressure of a show. You're going to come and see other people's stuff, aren't you?
Well, let's say I got both hats, and that makes sense, you know, once you're doing this for many years, like I'm doing, so I kind of transform myself from a performer into a producer. And right now in Italy, I'm producing two shows, which I sort of co-wrote myself, but I'm not the guy on the stage. And so, you know, continuing on this streak, on this path, I had such a good time in Brighton 2 years ago that it felt quite natural to come back with this different hat.
But is it nice not having the pressure of I'm also on stage here?
It's another pressure, and I got to tell you what, I'm on the verge of a serious mental breakdown now.
You don't look like it. You look more relaxed than me.
I look like it, yeah, but I'm an expert on deceit, so to speak. Yeah. No, just because, you know, as a producer, I have to meet programmers, sign contracts. I'm working quite a lot on another show with schools in Italy, so It's tough, you know, and you gotta have both minds, the artistic mind, but at the same time have the sort of business mind as well, and the pressure, the more, as you have success, it's the opposite. People think, you know, okay, I'm gonna be successful and everything's gonna be easy. No, actually, it's the opposite. You have more work, more pressure, more commitments to meet, and so on and so forth.
So when you come to a place like this, how much of your program had been decided in advance? You already knew what you were going to see? Or did you come a little bit with, well, I'm going to spend that day and I'll just see who comes up to me and I'll be open, you know? So what was your style as a you know, non-actor, non-producer, but someone that was coming to be in the industry?
It's a bit of both. I mean, I do come here with something in mind. Personally, the shows I produce mostly are like text and physical comedy or just purely physical comedy, so I'm looking for that. And also, it's really bad to use the word try, because I associate try with defeat, but I actually did make two offers in the past to actually buy two shows and sort of translate them into Italian, but both of them were refused for a number of reasons. So that doesn't happen always, but see, you see 30 shows and there is that show that you kind of tell yourself, oh, this is great, I gotta take it to eat it. So that has happened before.
Yeah.
And but at the same time, you gotta be open. You gotta be open, and you know, yeah, I think that's the thing. Because if you come with a mind which is already made too much, I think that's not good.
So someone could come up to you, have a conversation, tell you about their show, and if you have an instinct, you'll go and see it, and there is a possibility that something could result from that.
Yeah, it has happened. Actually, it did happen yesterday, but I wasn't interested for a number of reasons. But it's happening. I received lots of emails from groups sort of proposing themselves. I must say, so far, the show I saw, I actually picked them up myself. So, and this is good also as a performer when you come back, because you kind of learn not to take it personally. You know, you understand how the kind of pressure a producer has. So, you know, it goes both ways.
What's the theatre scene like in Italy?
I think it's very different from the British theatre scenes for a number of reasons. In a way, what you would call the standard theatre, you know, stage, curtains and seats and so on, is slowly dying for a number of reasons. I mean, you name them, YouTube, smart TV, whatever. However, having said that, I think there's an incredible potential for what I call unconventional theatre, which is to say, that would be the equivalent for Britain, for example, for rural touring, you know. So actually, staging theatre in unconventional places, whether for schools, adults, it doesn't matter. So I think there's a potential down there, but you really have to know what you're doing and so on and so forth. As far as conventional theatre is concerned, that's it slowly dies. It really is linked to celebrity. People don't go to see shows anymore. No. They go to see celebrities. That's it.
But is there any theatre that's, as it is in other countries, but not all other countries, that's currently, you know, firing up maybe younger people, but it's powerful enough to influence what's going on in the political scene, for example?
Sorry, you got to rephrase that for a second.
Well, you know, is art having an impact on the political scene, culture, or is it just kind of moved in the direction of entertainment?
I think it had more impact in the past, just for a simple reason. In the past, there were more people committed to transmit that kind of message. Call it ideology, call it what you want. I'm not a leftist myself. I'm a kind of, you know, liberal, whatever. Karl Popper, von Hayek, von Mises, okay? But I do have my ideas. And as a matter of fact, the slogan of my company is Exploring Freedom. So everything has to do with freedom. I tend to select shows, freedom of expression, freedom of whatever you want to call it. So, but nowadays, I'm saying that in Italy, I don't think there's any commitment to anything. Basically, everything has become liquid. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I prefer to have to deal with a person who's got integrity and he's got some ideas on how the world, you know, should be, even if it's wrong or right, in my opinion. But at least, you know, in that kind of confrontation, I kind of learn myself. But today, you're looking at a lot of people pleasers, and I don't like that at all.
And freedom, you know, has to at least partly be the ability to behave in ways that are consciously not influenced by corporate interests, corporate influence, propaganda.
I like the deviant person, the guy that's thinking outside the box. But that's really tough, because as soon as you think outside the box, you know, you may be alone for a very long time. So, but I'm interested in that kind of shows and that kind of messages. Just to give an example, I was in Avignon last summer, and I did make an offer to buy a show about Le Marquis de Sade, you know, Sade's, performed by a really capable French actress. The show was beautiful because it started with sex, which sounds very, you know, kinky sex. It sounds very plain. But then, I actually didn't know that myself, there were some beautiful passages in his books. I'm speaking about the Marquis de Sade, about freedom, because he lived through the French Revolution and he died in a mental hospital. So it was a deviant mind. Deviant in sex, but deviant also in the way he was thinking about politics in general. So that was a beautiful show. So that's the kind of stuff I'm looking for. It's not very common, I must say. Yeah.
So now taking that hat off and putting the other hat that you wear on.
Yeah.
And I know you've been involved in lots of productions, but I'm thinking about my personal connection with you too, in seeing your work and knowing what you're up to. So can you build me an artistic bridge between Mussolini and Brexit?
Well, yes. I think there are a lot of parallels. Now, I'm not saying Brexit is fascist, man. But certainly there is nationalism in Brexit. The question of national identity, which existed a lot in fascism, you know, because Italy is a very young country, so the regime had to you know, play a lot about national identity. I think there's also an idea of Europe. And I think Brexit was not an event against Europe per se, but against European bureaucracy. That's a big difference for me. So to tell the truth, I'm sort of in favor of Brexit in a way, but seen from a European perspective, for me, it's a big opportunity to start anew and start something new. I believe in Europe, but it's the Europe I have in mind is very different from what has become nowadays.
Also, perhaps, if, in some ways, if Mussolini hadn't been, you know, the incompetent in some ways that he was,
absolutely,
then we wouldn't be talking about Brexit now necessarily, because we could have a very different Europe.
Yeah, that's far-fetched. I slightly disagree with that. I think Europe, it's not something which is... Now, there are two versions. The one is top-down, and the other one is from bottom-up. I'm from the kind of bottom-up. And you learn by doing mistakes. And I don't want to go through the whole history of the Second World War, but in a way, in a very twisted way, you could say that the European project actually was born after the Second World War. You know, in a very sad way. But... you know, countries did realize that it was much better to try to cooperate rather than fight wars against each other.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I guess what I was asking is if somehow Mussolini had really delivered to Hitler and they'd won that Second World War, we'd have a very different Europe now. We might not be talking Brexit.
You know, I got to tell you the truth. If you study history, I think one of the reasons that Adolf Hitler actually lost the war, it was because of Mussolini. Probably because it was, they say, I'm going to tell you something. Now, there's you know, there is the story about the secret correspondence between Mussolini and Winston Churchill. It's a pretty famous story. But another story is that Italy declared the war against France about 2 weeks after the Nazi German invaded France. And some people say that Mussolini was actually pushed to do that by Winston Churchill. And the rationale was Italy was so powerful that Churchill wanted somebody to sit at the winner's table that he could sort of manipulate or trust or whatever you want to name it. So, in a very twisted way, you had to thank him because the Italian army was so bad at doing what it did that you know, the German army had to spread out and fight into different fronts. So,
so without giving too much away, but tell us about the new project, Brexit.
Brexit is the story of a father who's actually born in Holland, that's interpreted by me, and but lived the majority of his life in Britain, and his son. And that's set about 2 days before the referendum. And it's a comic show. It's their argument about what freedom is, because of course, and freedom plays a part of that. Freedom for the father is, you know, something. For his son is something else. And it's physical theater, text. The show actually ends with the declaration of the result of the referendum. And we're taking that one to Avignon after having done a tour in Italy of about 23 or 24 dates. With large crowds, 500 students sometimes.
Final question, the impossible one, but I'm in some ways asking you to wear both hats at the same time. And the reason I'm asking this is to invite you to reflect on yourself and your work. So, Tom, the arts industry producer, the guy that buys shows, watches Brexit.
Yeah.
What would make him buy it?
You know, it depends on whether the person watching the show is British or not. And I must say, we had quite a large demand for this show by non-native speakers because it's a hot topic. But, you know, if you're a student in France, Italy, or Germany, basically you don't know anything about it. And it's very difficult to explain, I think, from the outside because in Europe, the way it is, roughly speaking, the way it has been presented is, look at those, you know, those odd and eccentric British people, you know, they want to get out of Europe and so on, and they just do it because they're bad or something like that. You know, it's really simplified, but it's much more complicated than that, I think.
But that's the content. In terms of your style of theatre making and style of performance, in a way, I'm kind of asking you to think, what do you like about yourself and your work? What is it that you would value if you saw it for the first time and say, I want to buy that show because of this?
I think it's got his own style, his own touch. That's very difficult. It's taking me years to develop that. It's very physical in a way, and I think people, you know, 90% of the of communication is body language, whatever. And I think what I say to everybody, I don't aim for laughter. Laughter for me, it's just a means to an end. The end is always a message that sort of lurks underneath. So it's shows which are comedy, but with a sort of deep theme. You know, and Brexit is Brexit per se. I did a show in the past, Superheroes, and it was the relationship between child trauma and adult love life. Mussolini, it's about what dictatorship is, you know, what is nationalism and so on, and the fall of a dictator, trying to explain his human side. Right now, I've got another show I'm producing. It's a relationship between food and sex, and it's performed by you know, an actress who is the a particular type of beauty, a Renaissance beauty. You know, if you've seen Botticelli's Venus and so on and so forth. And basically the message is freedom of expression of your body. Don't be afraid to express yourself, whatever body you have. So those are the themes I touch.
Tom, thanks very much for talking to Fringe Review.
Thanks to you, Paul. You always have some very intriguing questions, and thanks to everybody.
Yeah, it's the ones I didn't ask that will come next time.